In the middle of summer, a new war in the Caucasus begins. After more than 10 years covering the region, I decide to leave as quickly as possible to go to Georgia, a country occupied by the Russian army for 48 hours. The only way to get there is by road, the one that goes through Armenia.
There. That's the Armenian border. Georgia is just beyond these mountains.
Relief. After rumors of closure, the border is still open. I see the first refugees. There are more than 100,000 fleeing the war. How are things going over there? On the other side, it's hell. From here, the Georgian capital is a 2-hour drive away. We cross the city and take the road to the fighting. The Russians are less than 70 kilometers away. Following the Georgian attack on August 7th on South Ossetia, a pro-Russian separatist region, Moscow sent more than 20,000 soldiers to the region.
We are from the French press. They say it is dangerous. From here on, they are no longer responsible for our safety.
We have barely passed the Georgian police checkpoint, a scene of panic on the side of the road.
We have to hurry.
What is happening?
The Russians are coming here.
We have to go.
A column of Russian tanks is approaching. We are less than 40 kilometers from Vilichi. It is horrible. There are dead people everywhere in the villages. Everywhere. Everyone. Let the children get on first. This bus is fine in Vilichi.
Hurry up. The Russians are right behind. Quick.
There are those who managed to escape, and the others, all the others.
Take us, please.
We decided to get back on the road, a completely deserted road. A few hundred meters further on, I discovered the column of armored vehicles advancing towards the Georgian capital. A surprise advance that the Kremlin disproved. Moscow was supposed to withdraw its troops according to a peace agreement signed the day before. The soldiers were talking in a completely different way.
Where are you going?
We're going here.
Where are you from?
We're from Cheni.
Where are you going?
We're going here. We were invited. We're Russian territory.
Russia has decided to bring Georgia and independent countries since the fall of the USSR to heel, which has chosen its American ally for the past 5 years.
We are staying as long as our president wants us to.
And what did your president say?
He told us to stay until the Georgians surrender. You shouldn't say those things.
What are you doing here?
We're here on a peacekeeping mission to defend civilians.
But Georgia is an independent country.
But the Georgians bombed the CTI. They massacred women and children, so...
This is revenge, so...
We are here to make sure they don't do it again. To teach them a lesson.
On that day, the Russians are going to extend the occupation zone by more than 30 kilometers into Georgian territory. Further on, tanks are blocking our passage. A Russian general confirms to the foreign press that taking the Georgian capital is not out of the question.
You ready to fight the Georgians? I'm not ruling anything out. We are ready.
If the American president can take Baghdad, why can't the Russians take it right here?
We decide to follow the column that continues its imperturbable advance towards the Georgian capital. Georgie, my Georgian driver, now fears the worst.
I'm afraid we won't be able to stop them. We're gonna overtake them and go further along to see where the Georgian army is. If the Russians get to them, I don't know what might happen.
Further on, the Georgian army is preparing. The Russians are 2 kilometers away. Most of these men have just been repatriated from Baghdad, where there were 2,000 of them fighting alongside the Americans. A Georgian army equipped by the United States, their equipment is in disrepair. They are forbidden from speaking to us off camera. They tell me they do not believe in a direct confrontation. Behind the Georgian lines, I discover refugees. We need a bus to get here.
We can't help you. We have to secure the road.
Help is coming.
We have been walking for 4 days. 4 days of fleeing. No one is defending us, no one. I lost all my children as children. It's atrocious. We have been abandoned. In the villages, as soon as you stick your head out, you are killed. There is no one to bury the corpses. They are lying in the gardens on the ground. But you can't defend all these civilians who are trapped in the villages.
How do you expect us to do that? There have been 500 years in the occupied zone, 500 years of Russians. I can't do anything. We respect the ceasefire, and they advance.
A powerless Georgian army, civilians left to their own devices. I leave these women, telling myself that we must try to get into the occupied zone. The next morning, I get back on the road. 35 kilometers from Bilis, a Georgian checkpoint. Today, we can't go any further. The police are nervous. I'll quickly understand why the Russians have set up their checkpoint here. This time, the Russian army is at the gates of the Georgian capital. We can't get through today. There's a Russian tank behind. It wasn't there yesterday.
That was yesterday.
Can I go see them?
Yes, go ahead.
What are they doing here? According to the ceasefire agreement, they should withdraw, not advance.
Go ask them. We don't understand anything anymore.
Hello, we're from French television. Can we talk to you? Where is the commander? These soldiers arrived during the night. They come from the Russian army headquarters in Grozny, the tech capital. It's taking me a while to convince them to talk to us. Having been to Cheni many times and knowing the villages where they fought, I'm gradually starting a dialogue. Why do you think you're in Georgia? What's your mission?
We're here for a peace mission. To pacify the region.
Yesterday, President Bush said that the Russian army had to leave Georgian soil immediately. What do you think?
We don't care what Bush says. He's not our president. We don't obey him. He knows that very well. We don't care what he says.
But you're in foreign territory. How does that make you feel?
We got lost.
Yeah, Russia is that way? No.
Soldiers convinced that Georgia is still their preserve, whatever the Americans think. Finally, Grozny's regiment lets us pass further. We enter the occupied zone. The first thing I notice is 2 soldiers, standing a little apart, attaching white armbands to their arms. What's this armband? What does it mean?
We do this to recognize who's on our side, who's Russian.
Yeah, that's it.
We recognize each other as Russians. However, right next to us, I see the same scene again. This time, they're men in civilian clothes wearing white armbands. They're paramilitaries from the 7th. These men have been accused of atrocities for over a week in the villages that have come under Russian control. Over an area of more than 20 kilometers, once the Russian tanks have passed, these militiamen would terrorize each other without the Russian soldiers reacting. 2 meters from the roadblock, I observe a strange maneuver. I see a militiaman remove his license plate in front of the Russian soldiers. The lack of license plates allows the militias to operate in Georgian villages with complete impunity. I managed to speak to one of them.
They bombed us and we cleared them from our land. There are many dead. We came to take revenge.
And what do you do here?
We keep moving. We are going to penetrate by fire to Belichi.
What is happening behind the Russian lines? What are these militiamen doing? For half an hour, I witness a constant stream of cars, 7 without license plates, returning from Georgian villages. Here, they reign supreme, and they don't like witnesses. We quickly understand that.
And you, put your camera away.
The militiamen want to know who we are. They are especially interested in our 44. One of them gets into one of our cars. He aims his gun at our Georgian driver. For several minutes, we fear the worst. A senior Russian officer ends up intervening. He advises us to leave as quickly as possible. He can no longer guarantee our safety. We decide to take another route in the hope of not running into the Militia 7 again. We enter the occupied zone. I see the extent of the destruction, kilometers of forest and fields set ablaze by the Russian army. We finally arrive in Gori, the Georgian city that has been under Russian control for a week. Hello, we are from French television. Gori, a bombed city, an occupied city, a city cut off from the rest of the world. Today, a week after the Russian bombings, amidst the ruins, I see only shadows. Silence and then suddenly screams. A little further on, I see a hungry crowd. It's the first distribution of food aid for the few hundred inhabitants who didn't manage to flee the city.
Give it, it's mine! Are you crazy? You dropped it?
Give me a bottle of oil. My children are starving.
We haven't eaten for 4 days.
Entire days without anything.
What should we do? Take up arms to get bread?
Why isn't the government doing anything? There's no authority left. This is what we've been reduced to.
Well done, I snatched it!
I stole it!
I'm taking everything home!
A riot of the end under Stalin's eyes that began in this city. The situation is even worse in the surrounding villages, a forbidden zone given over to the rule of the militias. The first convoys to the villages are organized. Powerless, the city authorities are forced to ask the Russian occupiers to provide security. The buses could be attacked by militiamen at any moment. I managed to convince a Russian soldier to let us get on condition that we don't film his face. He ends up telling me that the world needs to know what's happening there. We are the first to enter the Nazland of villages that have been pillaged by the militiamen for a week. For more than 20 kilometers, the occupied zone looks like a dead zone. First village, Triavi. I was told that the militia raids here had been particularly deadly. I ran away? My village is on fire. They burned my house. Please, help me. Help me.
My son is stuck there. It's more than 10 kilometers away. I absolutely have to go and see. The house has been completely destroyed. The village was pillaged. I don't know if my son is alive. I don't know what's left of my village. I don't know anything.
Next up, Sasha takes us to a big demonstration in support of Russia.
You have 30 minutes.
Okay.
You can go wherever you want, talk to whoever you want.
At the podium, President Eduard Kokoiti calls for the independence of the South Ocean and demands the protection of his big brother, Russia.
The world is going to have to reckon with Russia. And we are with them. Coca-Cola is Russian. And we will never give Coca-Cola to irresponsible people like Michael Saakashvili, the Georgian president, and the American condolence rice. They will not have our land. They have no business being here.
In the crowd, there are cries of anger and hatred, a growing hatred, an inter-ethnic hatred rekindled for a long time by these days of war.
It's normal that their house was burned and pillaged. The Georgians attacked us, so we didn't hold back. We made them pay for every drop of blood they shed.
But how are you going to live together in the future?
I don't know. It's no longer possible anyway.
So it's war.
If we have to fight, we'll fight. And Russia will always defend you.
The southern Occitania? A land cleansed. A land that has come under Russian protection. For the men of Grosin's regiment, mission accomplished. Their campaign in Georgia is over. So are you coming home?
Yeah, that's great.
Home? Finally, this one war is over. Russia is like a sleeping bear. If you wake her up, she'll be in a very bad mood. Russia, you shouldn't tease her or tickle her. Russia is strong, and we've shown it.
How long are the Russian troops leaving for? My trip to Georgia is coming to an end. I can't help but think that I'll be back soon. On the slopes of the Caucasus, a new Cold War is being written.